So when I was younger, my mom, she said that I was like a shady baby. One moment, I'm excited and happy. I'm all lovable on her. And the very next, I'm going to my dad or my aunt, my grandma. And then she was like, that baby is so shady. And it's carried over from like friends, family, teachers, teammates, coaches, and it just became a big name.
Welcome to What's Next with Eric Wood, where we will prepare you to make your what's next in life your best yet by learning from high performers in a variety of industries. Our next guest is LeSean McCoy. LeSean, who also goes by Shady, led the NFL in touchdowns in 2011, led the league in rushing in 2013, was a two-time first-team All-Pro, and is a six-time Pro Bowler. He was also named to the 2010s All-Decade Team. I had the privilege of blocking for Shady in Buffalo from 2015 to 2017. Not only is he an absolute stud running back, he is an intentional dad to his son, LeSean Jr., and also one of the sharpest players mentally that I have ever played with. You will be entertained and inspired listening to his words on this episode. There are over 100,000 new podcasts being released each week, so it means the world to me that you spent your time tuning into this episode. Please rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast, and also share it on social media. We will push back out your shares as well to get the word out there about this podcast. Enjoy. Shady, my dude, Super Bowl champ. Welcome to the show, brother.
My God, man. What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
I'm great, man. I miss you. We haven't been together in so long, this pandemic and everything. Probably the last time I saw you, you had no rings. Now you have two Super Bowl rings, but we'll get to that in this episode. But we start off with all the guests. I want to know where you're from and what other sports besides football did you play growing up?
Well, I'm from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It's about an hour from Philadelphia. Growing up, I played football, and then I played some basketball. Those are the only two sports I really played. When I was younger, I played baseball. I was pretty good. That's where, like, my name, Shady, came in. You know, I kind of got a big impact with, like, the community, you know, from being a really good baseball player.
Nice. I didn't know that.
I was real, real good. I played shortstop, second base, pitcher, outfield. I was everywhere. I was still bases. That was my thing. You know, I think it's the fair of getting the ball when I got older, kind of cut back on my baseball career.
Yeah, I hear you. Most football players will say that they were a good basketball player. I'm happy to hear you say.
I was a great basketball player. Yeah, I was that.
I wouldn't expect anything different from you. So you kind of mentioned already how you got the nickname Shady, or you mentioned that that's how your name became known by people. Yeah. Where'd you get the nickname Shady?
So when I was younger, my mom, she said that I was like a shady baby. One moment, I'm excited and happy. I'm all lovable on her. And the very next, I'm going to my dad or my aunt, my grandma. And then she was like, that baby is so shady. And it's carried over from like friends, family, teachers, teammates, coaches. And it just became a big name.
Hey, you took that shady demeanor where you could flip that switch. You took it to the football field because you're a different dude on the field than you were off the field. But tell me this, was it always Pitt for you?
No, so in high school, I had about 78 scholarships, right? I was All-American, et cetera. Yeah. I actually committed to Miami. Larry Coker from Miami was my first scholarship. And I was so excited to go to be a Cane, right? But unfortunately, I got hurt, broke my ankle, and a lot of teams kind of disappeared. So the only two teams that were available were Pittsburgh and Penn State. Paterno, rest in peace to Paterno. He had a lot of rules, I think, for me. I felt like they were judging me before actually knowing me. I think just because of where I'm from, it's a tough place, you know, growing up and et cetera. So I felt like it wasn't right. My parents didn't feel comfortable with it. It wasn't fair to me. So I chose Pittsburgh. Another reason why is Dave Wanstead, who was a great coach. He actually, you know, offered the opportunity that I would have a chance to regain my name, my fame, and my career. One of the big things I always wanted to do was just take care of my family, you know, make my parents proud, you know, and he gave me the chance to do that. And we're here today talking about it. And day one, so I really thank him so much for granting me the opportunity, man, and letting me have a chance to play as a freshman, to showcase my talent. And it worked out.
Oh, it definitely worked out. I mean, we played against each other in college. You're the best running back we went against.
You got Adidas too.
I know. And I wasn't even going to bring it up, but you had a fumble. But I'll tell you what, and I'll say this. So Shady fumbled going in the goal line, which would have been a go-ahead touchdown. They were running a back-to-back drives of a two-minute drill to try and beat us. And instead of throwing the ball down the field while we're in prevent defense, they just keep handing it off to Shady on draws. And he gets them all the way down the field. He's getting out of bounds. No one can touch him. So then he's getting out of bounds. So he's saving time as well. And then in college, whenever you get a first down, the clock stops anyways. So he's getting 10 yards a clip. I'm like, what are we doing? We can't be in this prevent defense. And then Shady fumbled going into the end zone, and we end up winning. And you could probably
– You got a crazy memory, bro. That is exactly what happened.
Well, and then
from playing with you in Buffalo, I know you so well. I can see you in the sideline looking, what are we doing? Look up to the officer, the coaches, the team. What are they doing out there with the previous defense? And we ran, I literally ran draw four times. I would come up, get the handoff. It was so much space. I would like shake a guy or two and go out of bounds. I kept doing it. And then we got to the 1 yard line, right? And we had timeouts, but I took the blame for it. It was more like the handoff, the exchange of the handoff. I think I've seen a defender come in, and I was trying to grab it and make a move, and I fumbled it. And that was a crazy day because I was a freshman, and I remember not even wanting to shower. I want to get back on the plane and go home.
And didn't you wear your pad? You wore your pads on the bus, didn't you?
I wore everything. I wore everything back to Pittsburgh. The whole day I wore it. Yeah, I didn't even no shower, no interviews. I rolled out. I was just upset. I felt like I let the team down, type of thing.
Right, and you're one of the best competitors I've ever played against, so that doesn't surprise me that you're like, man, I want to get out of here. I don't want to waste any time here. I'm ready to get back to Pittsburgh. I'm ready to get back to work. I'm ready to make this right, but I'm not here to answer questions. I'm not here to make excuses. That's one of the things I love about you, man, is that passion, that competitiveness. And, I mean, it's not an accident why you had the success you did in the NFL and in college, and it's that competitiveness, but – you know, where that might have rubbed some people wrong, like, man, Shady didn't do interviews after the game. Like, people don't get how you're wired. Like, you were not going to say something pleasant. You weren't going to put yourself in the best light, so I'm just not going to do it. I'll get back on the bus in my pads because if I do go in the locker room, well, here's the media. Now I'm about to do a press conference, so I'll just get on the bus. And I love that about you, and you know I do. So you come into the NFL you had a prolific college career. One of the most talented dudes. Then you go to the combine, you run a 4.5, you run a good 40, and then you end up being a second round draft pick. Right. What'd that feel like? Because I know deep down you felt like you deserved to be in the top 10 probably.
That hurt me. That really did. I always like pride myself on just being the best, you know, and not only that, but like making no question, no doubt. You know, so coming from Pittsburgh, it's a smaller school, right? Not as I guess publicizes like the Ohio States or, you know, the Georgia. So I get it, you know, but my tape was really, really good. And then I ran a 4.5, which wasn't the fastest, but it was a good speed, but it was faster than a lot of other running backs, you know, I came in with. And then another thing, when we got to the pro day, you know, I feel like I bust my tail. I was doing everything the right way. So when we got there to the draft, I'm like, there's no way that I'm the most talented running back on the board. Now, I did think that one running back would go before me. Even in high school, he was ranked ahead of me. It was Beanie Wells, Chris Beanie Wells from Ohio State. So I wasn't really surprised. Big school, he did big numbers. And he actually went third or second. He went third, I think. That's first round or second. I don't know what I'm saying. But Marino went. And I was like, I'm better than Marino. He plays in Georgia, okay, but he's not as good as me. So all that stuff, like, stuck with me. I remember I had a big draft party. My brother at the time was just, you know, crazy about the – because he went to the pros. He went seventh round. So I was like, all right, my brother's turn. I'm going to make sure it's a big deal. We had, like, a rented out a place, DJ, all this crazy stuff. You know, I got, like, a rented car. It was late night. You know, so like a draft party. You know, and I didn't go in the first round. That hurt me a little bit. More like ego, you know. Then went in the second round. You went before me. I remember watching your name go across. You know, so I was like something to prove. I said, okay, so that's how we playing it? All right, cool. So I always remembered that. Beanie Well or Sean, and the kid from UConn.
Donald Brown.
So all them three guys went in front of me. I said, okay, cool. We're going to see how the careers turn out once it's all said and done. You know, that was like something that like would drive me every day. You know,
I know it would. And we talked about that when you were in Buffalo. Like, you remembered that I was drafted ahead of you. You knew almost everybody drafted ahead of you. And if you don't believe that he remembers that, you, I always said if Shady wasn't a pro football player, he'd be a lawyer. One, he's smart. Two, he loves to argue. And he's got a great memory. You could say something like 2 years prior, and he'd bring it up, use it against you. Like, no, no, no. You said this.
You said
And yeah, which would be perfect, which would be perfect in court, because you'd be like, no, in this case, this is how it worked. And so this is how we're going to settle this argument now. But most of the time in our locker room, it was, who's the best player in the NBA? Who's better, Steph Curry or so-and-so? And you just get guys on tilt, just argue with them, try and prove them wrong. Even I thought half the time you didn't even think you were right. It was just more like, can I make this dude back down off his opinion?
Look, not only that, and once I put the doubt on your head, I know I got you. Right. Like, Emmanuel, is that his name, right?
Yeah.
He's on TV now. Well, he was in Philadelphia. A lot of people don't know he played in Philadelphia, but we would argue night and day, right? So now I see the success he has on TV. I'm so happy for him because we used to do that, like, every week. That's why I know once I'm done playing, I'm going to be great on TV because I love the debate. And I'm all, and you know me well, I always have all the right stats. And no, and I can really defend my answers. So that's something that I'm big on. I really want to, you know, be an analyst and get on TV, man. And even with the whole podcast and all type of stuff, to really get out there and really showcase that I can really do it.
Oh, you'll absolutely crush it. Another thing that you'll be great at is you're not afraid of voicing your opinion. Nope. It, just like you said earlier, you're like, man, I was better than those guys, and I still am. Like, you're not afraid of ticking someone off. Like, no, what I said was
true. I had to learn a little bit, because like sometimes that got me in trouble, because I would say different things that I actually meant, and they didn't like certain things I would say, and they would make it a big deal. So every time, especially like a big market like Philadelphia, if I say something, they make it a big deal. Like I said something about Edelman, like I'm doing an interview, and they're like, yeah, because he's a Hall of Famer. I was like, oh, he's not a Hall of Famer. He's a really, really good player. You know, and I asked how he works hard. He's a great player. I remember playing against him, his attitude, his determination, and like they took everything out of that. They took that away and only said that I didn't think he's a Hall of Famer. I was like, come on, bro. Like, you know what I mean? They know how to manipulate the conversation and change the narrative. So I've done better with it now. You know, like even running backs I see now that I think are really good. And like to everybody else, they might be like all world. And there might be a running back that's really, really good that doesn't get as much exposure. And I might say, hey, well, this kid is really, really, really good. And then the main player that's going to be good to everybody else, I just think he's good. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And if you don't say what the general public thinks, it's an issue. You know, so even going on TV, I think that's good and bad. So I'm trying to like find a medium, you know.
Yeah, but I think – but, you know, obviously now Shaq and Barkley are like the
station. Oh, man.
And they just say whatever they want. And, you know, they'll offend LeBron James. And they'll offend some of these big-name cats in the NBA. And they don't care. They stand behind it. And that's why, you know, even though you're doing probably a better job now of understanding what can be twisted, you're still not going to back down from your opinion, which I appreciate. And I think you'll crush it in whatever type of media you decide to get into. But you come into the league, and you talked about it, you came in with a chip in on your shoulder, and you come in and set the Eagles' rookie rushing record in your rookie year. I do a lot of speaking events now for rookies around the NFL, helping them transition. I want to know what your advice, if you had one piece of advice for a rookie transitioning into the NFL, what would it be?
My biggest thing, I think, for the young generation coming in, especially the rookies, like it would be more just – like, know who you are. I think when you come into an environment where you go from being the top guy on the team to now I'm on the very bottom, you know, some guys tend to, like, adapt to that. Well, maybe this is my role right now. No. You know, that's one thing. I did well at it, but I wish I did even better. It's, no, I know my worth. I know who I am. I'm not the starter. That's cool. But I'm a prepare like I'm a starter. You know, I'm a train like I'm the starter. I want to train like I'm the guy. Like, I'm the franchise running back. I think I got to that later in my rookie year. You know, it was first like, okay, I'm a rookie trying to do the rookie duties just to fit in. Because you grow up with, like, idolizing these guys. I remember, I'm from Pennsylvania, so when I got drafted to the Eagles, I remember having, like, Donovan McNabb posters in my room.
Right.
Brian Westbrook, and, you know, all these guys. So, Brian Dawkins. So, like, I remember, like, loving Allen Iverson. It's crazy because Allen Iverson actually we're friends now, right? And I'm making my son do a project on him because he has sneakers on, and he's like walking in the dirt. I'm like, do you know whose sneakers those are?
Right.
You know what? Tomorrow we're writing a project, so I got to watch a documentary on them. That's a whole nother story. But anyway, so these dudes that I looked up to, now we're in the same room, you know, and I'm like, I love that. So I think to all rookies, like, know your worth. So when you do become a mega star, it's not like a surprise. I've been through that. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all didn't know, but I've been through I was going to be all decade running back. I knew I was going to be all pro. I knew these things, you know? So I just want rookies to understand that, yeah, you might be a rookie. Yeah, you might be young and inexperienced, but that doesn't mean you don't know your worth. You know your worth and play like it. You know, that's probably my biggest tip.
Yeah, that's great advice. I absolutely love everything you said. Similar to what you're saying, know who you are. I had Greg Rousseau, the first round draft pick for the Bills this year. He got drafted. Well, they got Mario Addison and Jerry Hughes in there, and I was kind of baiting him into it. I said, you know, what do you envision your role to be this year? And I wasn't looking for, like, clickbait. I wasn't looking for bulletin board material, but I wanted him to say, man, I'm going in to compete. You know, I want to go win a starting job. And he said it, and I said, you know what's funny? You think that would be offensive to Mario and Jerry, who were the starters last year, and you get drafted in the first round. But I said, they wouldn't respect you if you didn't say that. If you
were
right, and I'm just going to play my role and, you know, let those veterans kind of ride off into the sunset. And when it's my turn, it's my turn. Like, they wouldn't even respect you if you said that. They want you to have that hunger and push them.
You look at them differently. Like, this kid, oh, he's just happy to be here.
Yep.
He's happy to be one of the guys. Now, you're right about that.
Yeah, exactly. So you had a bunch of success in Philadelphia, but my time where I got to know you was in Buffalo, and I know that was a crazy time for you. You're from Harrisburg. You're playing in Philadelphia. You know, and all guys just feel like they're going to play, especially when you're an early draft pick and you get re-signed to a team, you just feel like this is going to be it. What were your feelings around that trade when you got traded to Buffalo?
I mean, it's only a few things in my life that really hurt me. You know, one was like, I had a son at a young age. That was tough for me. It was a blessing, but it was tough. Like, I'm a kid still, like 23, 22, kind of, you know. And then, like, another one was when I got hurt, you know, in high school. I went from all these colleges and offers to, like, having two or three. That your phone ringing all day, you know, nonstop, to here and there. That hurt me. And another one was really – when the Eagles traded me. At the time, right, I probably was the best player on the team at the time. I would say that. Maybe Jason Pierce was first, you know. But anyway, we were like 1-2. And once I got traded, it was so different. I had so many endorsements. I was making so much money off the field. I had so much success on the field. So when even the rumors were going around, I couldn't believe it. I remember after every season, you know, me and like Deshaun Jackson, Macklin, and Mike Vick, we would all just hang out. Like, I'm long gonna be here. I never changed my locker. You know, and the city of Philadelphia is such a great place. You know, like, being, you know, from there, the hometown type kid, and you don't think about them things, small things. So then when the trade happened, it hurt me. I lost a lot of endorsements because it's hard to really market in Buffalo. You know, I didn't know much about the Bills. I know it was cold as hell. I knew that. And I knew they hadn't really been winning lately. You know, so that was another tough one. Like, I'm used to being on TV all the time. And another thing, I remember negotiating my cleats with Nike. So Nike did this trial run where they gave me these sneakers, like the shady something sneakers, right? They sold out, they did very well. So we were in contact with Nike about getting my own cleat. And they're like, oh, well, only certain players. I was saying how unique I am and I'm this and that, all that type of stuff. And then I get traded. I just purchased one of my houses in New Jersey, Philadelphia, like, type, you know, across the bridge, whatever.
Right.
I actually don't have it now, but it was a nice house. It's probably my first real big, you know, purchase. You know, so it's like I'm here. I'm doing all these different things in the community as far as my foundation, Jays of Greatness. So everything was, like, going together, you know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like, man, me and Chip would bump heads here and there, but I guess he wanted more control. You know, and once he traded me, that was a lot of control. Like, wow, this dude, he'll trade Shady. He'll trade anybody. You better fall in line, right? And that's what happened. But I will say, when I went to Buffalo, it changed a lot for me. I didn't know how much talent they had. It was so much talent. I'm like these dudes are good, you know, and they kind of in the shadows because of like the marketing standpoint. Right. Can we market? Yeah, you're not on TV as much. I remember they didn't have a night game in years. I'm like, what? Right. So I get there. Rex Ryan's a great coach. You know, he's having a ball with him, meeting guys like you and Richie. Just, they put the team together in a very, very good team. I think with and also the ownership. The Gulas are one of the best. I will say that. So once I got there and I settled in, my first year, I was so like depressed, you know, because at the time, for like the last 5 years of my career, or the first 5 years of my career, not my rookie year, I'm gonna say. So from my third year and on, I had the top five selling jersey. You know, you get a nice royalty check for them type of things. You know, like right. Small things you don't even think about. And I lost a lot of that. You know what I'm saying? I remember I did a deal with Kobe with the body armor. And, you know, Philadelphia guy and et cetera. And then I had to get removed because I got traded. So all these things are in my mind. I get to Buffalo and things work out. The second year, things really worked out for me. I had to get the hunger again. Like, I remember telling myself, okay, I went back to my mom's house in Harrisburg, right? Put all the big cars away. I got focused. I trained. I remember going to the same hill I ran on high school. But get my name back, get my focus back. You know, I kind of get all that bad energy out the way from being traded, you know, because I got hurt a little bit my first year, you know, and then we had a rookie that did really well. And everybody's like, oh, is he going to take over? I'm like, what? Okay. So then I got my groove back, and then I ran off like three, four Pro Bowls in Buffalo, you know. And then my offensive line was amazing, thanks to guys like you.
My man. Yeah.
So it worked out.
It did work out. And I can't imagine just me playing my whole career in Buffalo, having my foundation in
That's
Buffalo.
So beautiful, bro.
Having my house up there, you know, having our friends, our routines and everything. Man, and that's not even me coming from a point of, man, I got all these endorsements. That's not even like a monetary side, just the comfort.
And then when I left, right, it's nothing. So I've been going from Philadelphia for, I don't even know how many years, but a while, right? There's never been another 25 on the field. They won't even let it, like players who call me, like, hey, Shay, do you mind? I'm over 25. And they won't let it out. So they're going to retire my jersey, right, which is respectful. You know, but just think about that whole narrative, though. Like me and Larry Fitzgerald are really tight. He's been, even though he wasn't playing at this high level, you know, lately, because he's older, he's always been an Arizona Cardinal. Like, that's he's known for. Like, certain players should never leave their home. And I feel like I was one of them players where I should always been an Eagle. They're retiring my jersey. I'm the all-time Eagles rusher. Like, them things fall in place for a reason. That's right. Why I was really so hurt. Because Hollywood went down, you know, and then they didn't really warn me. You know, and Chip really didn't want to answer. You know, I think he was scared to even confront me, but while I was trying to confront him about it, he didn't want to. You know, but it's a business. And I learned as I got older. I was so mad at him. But as I got older, I realized it's a business and things happen. You know, shoot. I mean, Joe Montana didn't finish out with the Niners, so I get it. Tom Brady didn't finish out with the Patriots, so I understand it.
I'm extremely excited to announce UCAN as the newest sponsor of the podcast. UCAN Superstarch is a complex carbohydrate that doesn't spike blood sugar, delivering a slow and steady release of glucose into the bloodstream. Stable blood sugar provides steady energy to both the muscles and the brain and controls cravings caused by blood sugar lows. When I was playing, I needed this product to fuel me during workouts, practices, and games. And now that I'm not playing in the NFL anymore, I use it to fuel me for everyday life, workouts, and especially big golf matches. Use the link in the show notes to purchase their products and get 25% off your purchase when you use code ERIC25. Go live your optimal life by using the best energy source out there. Yeah, and we're going to get to Tom Brady later in this podcast. I got a couple things I want to make a comment on there, and then we'll move on. But one, when we went back to Philadelphia for the first time, do you face against them? I don't know if you remember this, but
remember
a holding call, which I think was garbage. But, it's hard to say that one play cost you the game, but it was down. We were backed up, and you took off to, like, midfield. And, one, that would have put you, like, over 150 yards in the game, which we were crushing them. Like,
it was beat down. They started cheating after a while, though, bro.
And so that backed us up to the goal line. We ended up having the punt. They score. And, like, you know, similar to you in Louisville, like, I'm putting that all on me there. You know, I thought it was a garbage call, but if you have your hand out of place, you know, it is what it is. They can throw the flag, I guess. So that was that. And then I didn't realize that you had a relationship with Kobe Bryant. you know, obviously he's gone now.
And I got his picture on my wall, jersey. He sent me a sign and everything. He sent me some sneakers. Kobe, that's my guy right there.
Man, I did not approve. Obviously, I didn't know a lot about him off the court until he passed, when all the stories come out, which is a shame that we treat people like that in this world. Like, I wish I would have known so much more about him and his relationship with his daughter, his work ethic, his performance coach, Tim Grover, mentions him a lot in his book and talks about how Kobe, so he trained Jordan forever. And then when Jordan retired, Kobe called up Jordan, was like, hey, can I work with your guy Grover? Cause I want to go to that next level. So he starts working with Grover, and he said, he called up Grover, was like, hey, we're meeting at 3:30 tomorrow. Grover just assumed, working with NBA guys, he was talking about PM. He's like, no, with Kobe, it's all AM times if you're meeting. And they would meet at obnoxious hours, but he would do it so he could be home for breakfast with the kids. And then when they went off to school, he'd work out again. And he was like, and I took a lot of inspiration from that. Like, man, design your life to work your tail off, and maybe you sacrifice an hour of sleep here and there, but be home for breakfast with the kids if you have the ability to, and then get back to work when they go to school, but be there for breakfast with you can. I was like, man, that's really good stuff from Kobe.
I'm going to listen. Now, it's a couple people that I get emotional about. He's one of them. Like, even when he passed, that was tough because, like, I was a huge Kobe fan. Even, like, seeing how he, like, how hard he works, you know, and then, like, I'm big on, like, being a father, you know?
Yeah,
you meet a lot of guys in the league that have multiple kids, or a lot of guys that make a lot of money, you know, and they buy this and they buy that. So you assume that that's being a parent. Now, I grew up with both my parents, you know, so I have an idea about it, but it says more about a dude that has all that and actually spends the time and does all the small things, from schools to this and that. And that's what I love about him. Like, he lost his life from trying to be a great dad.
I know it.
You know, like all the. Kobe was always so serious, you know, and like, see how, like, as he retired and how he, you know, how he acted or interacted with, like, people was way different to when he was in his prime, how he was trying to be the greatest with his kids and his daughters and all, like, all that. I love all that, you know. He went through the thing with his wife, you know, and he talked about how, like, I'm gonna strive to be even better this time around. I missed the shot. I missed the game winner shot. I made a mistake. You know, and he put it back to basketball terms, like all that type of stuff. I fell in love with, you know.
Yep.
That's why I'm such a huge Kobe fan. You know, I'm sad how things happen, but you know, I'm a big Kobe fan.
Yep, and everybody makes mistakes. I like how he changed his number, because he was like, no. 8 was that dude. I'm 24 now. I'm a different person, and I'm wearing a different. I'm wearing a different number now to even signify that I'm not that old dude. I'm not Shaq's sidekick. I'm not a woman. Whatever it may be, I moved on from all that. And then he achieves greatness, goes win more championships, great dad, great husband from that point moving forward. So these last 2 years, you win Super Bowls with the Chiefs and with the Bucks. What was different? You know, you played with really talented Eagles teams, made the playoffs there. In Buffalo, we didn't make the play. We made the playoffs once while you were there, but we had a ton of talent. We just couldn't get it done. But what's different, besides the obvious fact that both, you know, maybe the two best quarterbacks in the league are in Kansas City and Tampa Bay, what else is different about those Super Bowl winning teams?
I think, they're similar by the talent. I think personally, it's hard to win without no talent. Both teams are loaded with talent on both sides of the ball. I think maybe defensively, probably Tampa Bay's a little bit better. But overall, they're loaded, right? And they both are well coached. For both of them teams, we're well coached with BA and Andy, you know. And also, we had a quarterback. You have a quarterback, like, on that type of level, very elite, very different. The best, you know, I think that Mahomes is definitely the best from his attributes, the plays he can make, the heart, the courage. Just sometimes where it takes a lot of balls to make some of them plays.
Right.
You know, reversing field 30 yards. Like, and Andy Reid, now, I will say this, Andy Reid is a lovable coach, lovable guy, people love him, but he can be tough. He can be tough without cussing.
Right.
So And if you don't make them plays, he's gonna be on you. Like, hey, what the, you know, what are you doing? He looks at you with them big eyes. You got that white, red face. You know, and he'll get with you. You know, BA is the same, a little opposite. He's gonna cuss you out with a lot of curse words. You know, even, and I respect it because I've never seen like head coaches come at the main guys. Like even in my years, Andy Reid's probably the only coach ever like check me. And it never was, he didn't get out of line. He would just say little stuff. Like one time I got in a fight like on Twitter and stuff, and I'm being very immature. And he just said, hey, listen, you're a captain of the team. Don't let that happen. I'll bench your ass. You know, something simple. But B.A., he'll get with Tom. What the hell are you doing? You know, so it just shows you, like, okay, everybody's accountable, right? And then you look at both teams, the ability to overcome adversity. Mm. I think that talks, you know, it's big for a team when it doesn't matter that what's going on right now, you know, currently. You know, you got to finish the game out. And anything can happen. And that will to win is important. I think that's something that Tom brings. Everybody's always talking about the Belichick and Brady, the comparison. There's no comparison. I think Belichick's a good coach, you know, but I think there's none of that gets done without Tom Brady. It's a culture that he brings, you know, and it's a culture that Belichick brings. But you can't have that same culture without Tom Brady. You can't cut or trade your best defensive player without Tom Brady. You know, it's like the insurance. When you know he's on the team, even if he's not even playing, there's some games he didn't play well and we still won. It's the insurance. We got 12. He's a winner. These things are expected. My performance has to be elite because of number 12 is that quarterback. It's a whole nother dimension to the game. You know, you build that confidence. Like, Winston was there. He played well. He threw a lot of picks, but he played well. But it's a difference when a dude like Tom comes in the huddle. He demands respect. You know these type of things. You play harder. You play with more grit, more guts. You know, so when they compare him, it's like, you can't compare that. You know, like, you have a defense where you're not really paying the players, you know, but because Tom's there. When Tom leaves, you got to pay all these players. You need all the best you can get to compete. So same thing with Mahomes. I think these type of guys, they love it where they have a team where, like, all right, once the quarterback gets the money, the team's kind of diminished because the pot's smaller. You can't pay everybody. Well, these dudes are like, no. I'll take a nice amount of money, but, hey, I need enough to pay all my players to keep good players around me. I'll make less. I'll get it in some endorsement. I'll get it somewhere else. But the ultimate goal is to win championships. We're going to make some millions. Everybody's going to make some millions. But we're trying to win championships. And once a guy like that gets it, because Tom's like, you know, because Tom's better now. He asks little questions about Pat, you know, this and that. And but one thing he said is, like, the reason why he's so deadly because he gets it. Winning is the number one thing. It ain't money. It ain't this. It ain't that. It's about winning. Because once he took money away from himself to give it to Kelsey or give it to his tackles or give it to defense, once you start doing that, you want to win forever. And that's what they have a lot of similarities in both teams.
Man, that's a great breakdown. And I didn't even have to ask my next two follow-up questions, asked about the quarterbacks. You went into both of them. You know, I played against Tom Brady so many times in my career.
Oh, believe it. I know.
And I was always wondering what it was like to be on the sideline with him. And, you know, you see it in the games. They'll show him during the games. He's fiery. He's ultra competitive on the sideline, right?
He's such a competitor. He's slow. He's probably the slowest player I've been around other than, like, linemen, right? And listen, nah, he's funny. He'll be racing. He's the GOAT, bro. Like, he'll be racing. Shady, I'm getting faster than him. And he'll race, like, one of the coaches. You know, like, he's always competing in some way, from passing to throwing. And even being on Buffalo, like, we never feared playing the Patriots. Like, the defense, we thought that we always did well against their defense.
Right.
Which is 12. Like, the way they play, he's going to eat the clock up, he's going to take what you give him. And they have him, they're going to win. You know, and we will always be this close to beating them. But, dude, he's a different guy, bro.
Yep. He's an absolute winner. He's the greatest of all time. And he's just resetting record books. He treats people well. I see him once a year at the Derby, and he's always
he's too humble, bro. Too humble. Because I remember even when I was, like, in my prime, when I whatever things I wanted, I would tell them, and they would do it. And I'm looking at him like, yo, you want this play in? Like, tell him. Like, Shady Bob, he's the coach, I'm the player, you know. And all the guys on offense, like, whispering, like, bro, he needs to tell him, you know. Because he's so smart. Well, he'll see plays, all right, we can do it like this. We can do it differently. You know, he'll put it together. Sometimes he won't say it, but he'll put during the game, hey, you run a curl, you run a flat. You know, he'll do it his own way. But he's so humble, yo. It's too humble.
Yeah, but it's that humility that's got him to this point. It's the humility. It's the competitiveness. Yes, he's got some talent, but he's constantly striving to get better. He's all about the personal development. I mean, he's just the absolute total package, and that's what makes you go down as one of the best of all time. Back to you, though. What's your plan for this fall? You bringing another ring home?
You know, I'm the rabbit's foot right now, man. I'm hot. I had some calls. Actually, lately, you know, me and my agent Drew's house, we're talking a little bit, and it's more like I told him that, hey, man, like, what else? What more can I do? You know, it has to be the right fit. I don't mind mentoring and helping the young guys out to become a better player and a better professional. I actually embrace that role, you know, very well lately in my career. But it has to be the right team. I think a team with potential. You know, I think a team that's not a rebuilding team, a team with potential to compete, you know, and potentially win a championship or even get to the playoffs to make that happen. And I think right now that's something I really want to do it, and it makes the most sense. You know, right now I'm really still I love the game. You know, I'm doing a lot of different real estate things with my brother. You know, my company, we're doing really well. I have a bunch of units, and we're getting to the developing, and also actually getting to opportunity zones, you know, to help out different communities that I grew up in, you know. But so I'm at peace right now, you know, but the game is something that I love. And if I sign that line to be on the team, then that's something I'm really going to do, you know, and all the hard work and the hard hours and long hours. You know, I look forward to that. So I just got to make the right decision. And a lot of teams that have reached out, you know, it was cool, but I'm looking for teams that I can really compete with and have a chance to really help out and make a difference. And that's just my mindset right now.
Yeah, that makes sense. At this point of your career, you want to go win another championship. And, yeah, you want to contribute, but your greatest impact is, yes, going to be on the field, but off the field as well. I used to crack up, not that you weren't always a mentor and not that you always didn't help the other guys along, but you were the man in Buffalo, and that wasn't your role, and we didn't necessarily have guys that you needed to groom. And I remember one time you were on your phone behind us during an install meeting, and someone said, like,
that's not good.
Well, someone was like, man, Shady needs to get off his phone. Or someone said just something, or someone got in trouble for being on their phone, and someone else said, well, Shady's on his phone. I said, Shady doesn't miss assignments. That's right. The difference. I said,
oh, I remember that.
Yeah, and I called him out in front of the whole meeting, and I said, you missed assignments yesterday in practice. I had never seen him miss an assignment, so he could be on his phone, and he's earned this. And everyone was like, oh, okay. I guess we're not going to call him out anymore.
And one thing about you, I will say, man, like, I mean, I told you this, like, I didn't know how good you were until I played with you, bro. Like, you, from intelligence to being tough to holding your own. Like, I played with a lot of good guys that got a lot of credit for different things, right? But they asked for a lot of help. You know, you were opposite. If I got to block this guy by myself, I'm going to do it. And, like, you made that offensive line go, bro. I remember me and Richard was talking about that. You got hurt. And what year was that you got hurt? And I think
2016 out in Seattle.
Yep. And then Roy came in. Roy did pretty good, but it was – different, you know, and like, I thank you for that. You know, you helped me get a lot of yards, man, and you're very, very intelligent, bro. And I remember even like talking to Kelsey, you know, because everybody's weird how, I guess I do it unconsciously too, but a guy that's like, you think is as good as you or whatever, you always ask questions like, how was he? And I was like, bro, E. Wood is the truth. Like, this dude is legit, you know, and it was telling about the different things. So, even like your ability, because to run, like, you know, you're a big tall dude to get out there and pull. You know, I just want to thank you, man, because a lot of my success, you know, you had a lot to do with it. I truly believe that, and I thank you for it, man. Thank you,
man. I truly appreciate that, and I'll never forget the rest of my life. After I got hurt in 2016, for that Monday, I guess it was a Monday night football game, we were heading into the bye week, but we had Tuesday interviews, and you did the press conference, and you said a bunch of similar things that you just said there, which is extremely humbling for me. But my agent called me and he said, did you hear what Shady said? And I was heading into the final year of my contract the next year. He said, dude, that's all the material we need for a new deal. And I end up getting re-signed before the season. So I owe you, I think I owe you dinner at some point.
Say, hey, he owe me some money for that. But I'm keeping it real. That's my thing. I keep it real, man. Hey, I call out how I see it, you know, because they publicize a lot of guys and they hype them up that don't deserve it. You know what I'm saying? And like, come on. So I just said that from the heart. You know, that's what it really was.
No, that's my man. And a lot of offensive linemen, if you play on a really good team, you're going to get that publicity. You know, you play in a small market, and it's fine. Like, God put me in Buffalo for a reason. Maybe I couldn't handle a bigger market where I would have got all the fame and whatever. And that's completely fine. It all worked out exactly how it was supposed to. I got a few recurring questions for you that I ask all the guests, then we'll get you out of here. Number one, what's your favorite book?
Mama Mentality.
Love it. What role does your faith play in your life?
Big role, a huge role. Because there's times where you're going to have – the flesh is weak. Sometimes you have weak moments. Sometimes you're going to have weak thoughts. You know, and your faith has to be that support to pick you back up.
That's powerful. I love the way you phrase that too. What was your first car, and then what's been your favorite car that you got to buy since you've been in the league?
My first car first car I've ever bought.
Like, first car that you ever had when you were young.
Well, my first car I ever had was a 96 Maxima.
Nice.
My grandmother gave me. Yeah. But my first car I loved was the S550 Benz. I love that car.
Woo! I truly love S550s, too. And I'm at a crossroads right now about to get rid of my truck, and that's on the list of potentials. The only issue is we got two kids in car seats. One gets car sick, so they'll be sitting down lower. So I don't know if that's right for us at this stage of life. What's your favorite restaurant?
Anywhere in the world, huh?
Anywhere.
I'm gonna stick with Prime 112, Miami.
That's so good. What was your favorite wing spot in Buffalo?
Now, I always tell everybody about the wings.
Duff's. Last one, the show's called What's Next with Eric Wood. I want to know what's next, what's coming down the pipeline for Shady McCoy.
Hey man, right now it's wide open. You know, I could just sign to another team, win another Super Bowl, make the haters mad, but you never know. I'm doing good in the real estate world, man, so those are my two biggest things right now. And I think that commentating is probably next. You never know. You might see me catching it or calling the game. Yeah,
I know it. That would be the least surprising thing to happen if I see you calling a game. My only advice would be, until you have total peace with knowing it's over, keep working out, stay in shape, and just prepare for an opportunity, because a perfect opportunity could come. And I know you're going to make great money in real estate, and I know you're going to make great money in broadcasting, but the wins in real estate and broadcasting are not like those game checks you get in the NFL. It takes a lot of years to earn those game checks. You invest those suckers right, and that is quick generational wealth, which you've already earned and you've already accumulated. I'm just letting you know that.
That's different. Trust me. I mean, I'll do like a flip, or I'll do like certain units we get monthly. It's way different. I won't get into numbers, but I mean, it's way different.
You know? Absolutely. Hey, brother, I can't appreciate you enough for your time here today. Thank you for the kind words. I was not expecting you to flip that back on me. I haven't been humbled like that from a guest ever, so I truly appreciate it. Bro, I love you, and, man, I wish peace with whatever decision you make coming up, and I can't wait to watch what's next for Shady McCoy.
My God, thanks. I love you, man. Thank you, brother.
Absolutely. This episode is also brought to you by Punched Energy Chews, and these have become a favorite product of mine for energy and fitness. They use a patented formula with tons of scientific studies, and they start with pure green Arabica coffee bean caffeine. It improves your physical and mental performance, increases your metabolism, helps burn calories and body fat, and they also help boost your immunity, which is very important at this time because they're a great source of vitamin C. They're also ultra low glycemic, no spikes, no bounces, and no crashes. What you're going to do is go to punchedenergy.com, use code ERICWOOD20 for 20% off. Give them a try. Link in the show notes. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend or with your followers on social media. Also, shoot us a rating and support the sponsors whose information is in the show notes. Until next time, as I tell my daughter before she leaves for school every day, spread some joy and make it the best day ever.